welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hey, Mark.
Hello, Mike.
I hope you had a good night's sleep last night. We're going to talk about insomnia. Insomnia is a pain for lots of people. It can occur because of coexisting conditions and can occur de novo in the absence of coexisting conditions. All patients with insomnia who have it as a result of a medical condition obviously deserve a workup for the medical condition, the psychiatric condition, the substance abuse, et cetera. And we also are pretty good in primary care at talking to patients about the usual tenets of sleep hygiene. And I'm not going to review those for listeners, but they are very helpful, but not always helpful. For those patients who do continue to have insomnia despite behavior changes and doing all the right things, there's often a drive to other interventions. And those interventions perhaps fall into two categories. They can be medication or they can be behavioral. Behavioral often relying on cognitive behavioral therapy. For some patients, what they choose will depend on their values and preferences. There's a group of patients who just absolutely will push us to give them a sleeping pill, and others who would never take a sleeping pill and want some sort of behavioral therapy. You found a poem. It was published in the Annals of Internal Medicine. They do really good summaries. This one is called the ACP Chronic Insomnia Guideline, and it answers the question, how should we treat chronic insomnia? Mark, what did they suggest?
Yeah, this is a very well-done guideline, typical of the American College of Physicians. This one looks at chronic insomnia, and they define that as a sleep disorder that causes significant functional distress or impairment at least 3 nights a week for 3 months. So remember, 3 by 3. The recommendations are, as usual, based on a really well-done systematic review. And they conclude that based on moderate quality evidence, CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, aimed at insomnia, improved remission, treatment response, time to sleep, waking after sleep onset, and sleep quality. So pretty much all the things that we would want it to improve. Treatment can be delivered in a variety of ways. So you could deliver it as an individual, which we would traditionally think of face-to-face or in a group, by telephone, web-based, or via self-help books. I think the latter, web-based and self-help, you need maybe a bit more motivated, perhaps a bit better educated patient to benefit from that. But there are a variety of options. The elements of CBT that's successful are first getting at some of the dysfunctional beliefs and attitudes towards sleep in terms of when you have to go to bed or how long you have to sleep or whatever. Stimulus control, so avoiding non-sleep activities in the bedroom. Sleep restriction, so limiting time in bed to match perceived sleep duration. So at least 85% of the time spent in bed is spent sleeping, and that may mean cutting back on the amount of time spent in bed so it better matches what a typical night's sleep is. Sleep hygiene is avoiding alcohol, caffeine, nicotine, scheduling the sleep on a regular basis, not having it 9 o'clock one night and midnight the next. And then finally, relaxation techniques like meditation and mindfulness can be helpful. So the drug therapy includes the Z drugs, things like Lunesta, Ambien, Belsomra, and those are shown to improve some aspects of sleep, but most of these studies were low quality, often unblinded, and of relatively short duration. Benzos have been studied for short term, obviously have significant side effects and can be habit-forming. Doxepin, an antidepressant in a low-quality study, was shown to improve total sleep time and waking. Some of the older meds like diphenhydramine and trazodone haven't been studied, so they didn't make a recommendation about those. Drug treatment was felt to be second-line therapy because it costs more because of the potential harms, especially with the benzodiazepines. This group, they do suggest that the Z-drugs and doxepin are probably the best of the medications, but to try not to use them for more than a month at a time. So bottom line, based on a systematic review, ACP recommends cognitive behavioral therapy as the initial treatment, and that drug therapy selectively is second line treatment.
Yeah, so two comments. One is I just am shocked that we don't have better data on the outcomes of sleeping pills. You know, and none of these pills are you know, incredibly new. So that it's the fact that no one's really gotten data on these, including drugs like trazodone, which I use with patients fairly often. It's shocking that we don't have better data on that. The second thing is just the caution that with a lot of these drugs, obviously, in the elderly, you know, men and women whose bladder function perhaps isn't what it used to be, and they're getting up in the middle of the night to urinate, you're just asking for an accident. So CBT, for lots of reasons, has some big advantages, doesn't it?
Sure does. And, you know, I agree. And even the Z drugs, you know, we tend to think of the benzos increasing the risk of falls. And I don't recall seeing studies of, you know, observational studies or harm studies of the newer drugs and their effect on falls in the elderly. I would have to suspect there probably would be some association.
Thanks, Mark. I wish you a good night's sleep and we'll talk with you again next week.
Same to you.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.